We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, welcome back to OMF, fourth and final hour. Tomorrow we open up, like we will give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game. We already gave away a pair of tickets to opening day, but we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game coming up in this hour. And, of course, you can hear the game right here on WEEI and the WEEI Radio Network. And you can also stream it at WEEI.com, or you can download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Robert Kraft spoke today, owners' meetings. How about Bill Belichick? Have we got that audio yet?
Nope.
Hasn't come in yet?
Not yet.
Keep your eyes on it.
All right.
When it comes in, we want to go to it.
We'll look.
So Robert Kraft spoke with the media today and talked about all their spending here in the offseason.
You talked earlier to Peter King and mentioned that you said not coming up with so much capital before. I'm wondering, since the team has always spent near the cap line anyway, is this just a year that there was the perfect storm, Bob, of you having enough cap space to spend money with the need to having to bring players in?
Well, I think this is a unique time. I think I said previously we've never been in a position where we have spent the kind of money in free agency that we did this year. I think if there was ever a year to do it, this would be the year, because we move quickly, and instead of having 10 or 12 teams compete against us for free agents, there were only two or three. And I think our personnel department did an outstanding job in setting the priorities. We moved quickly, and we also had the advantage of being in a unique position of having, I think we're number three, possibly two, in cap space, and we moved quickly, and I really hope it makes a difference. I'm excited about this upcoming season.
Move quickly.
They moved quickly, but when he talks about this offseason being different in that the ceiling for the cap for an individual team dropped down, I'm not sure they took advantage of it. They may take more advantage of it in the next few weeks with the available players that are out there that they're going to get for pennies on the dollar, right? Because they spent a lot of money.
Well, you know, we talked about this before, and it was like taking advantage of the inefficiencies. And I think what he's more so getting at is the fact that there was only a couple of teams mm-hmm. like them right. that could spend right. the kind of money.
Right.
Because it wasn't like they took advantage of maybe a low market and got guys undervalued at prices that maybe they would have gotten in years past and everything else, right? So because they went out day one and they signed, what was it, nine guys, I think, day one? And really, probably two of them should have been day one signings. You know, but the other ones, they gave them the money. They got the, they gave the money they were looking for, and I bet you some of those free agents thought their agent was probably like, hey, you know, relax, probably day two, day three, we'll get, you know, it's how it always works. Next thing you know, they're getting calls and they're getting the money that they're expecting to get on day one. They're like, Jesus, yeah, of course I'm taking it.
Yeah, to me, and it does feel like in the question, you know, before the answer obviously was, you know, it felt like the perfect storm. Like, now, okay, it's because you had the money and you had a depressed market. And you were one of the few teams that had multiple needs, so you went all in. It's like a just all in attack. But is that because you realized this 3 years ago? And then you said, okay, you know, by the time this comes around, we better have a lot of money because we're going to have to make some changes? Or did they just luck into it? Because to me, what I hear is like, we planned for it, we are aware of it, and nobody else was. So we are smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, and I think they were able, even though they paid a lot of cash and bonus money up front, they were able to spread it out. That gave them, I don't know, more power with their buck or whatever. Well, the one thing they didn't spend the money on was quarterback, and he addressed this.
Do you believe, Robert, that the level of investment that the team has made in the quarterback position has been enough to make this team as competitive as you want? I think of all the total guarantees, you know, contractually that were handed out this month.
I understand.
For the quarterback spot.
Well, look, I think we have we have a situation where we have, you know, at this point in time, we're trying to do what the best thing for us is, and I think, in fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him last year, and then he got COVID, and there were a lot of things that happened. And I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot, so we have to wait and see what happens. And then we still have the draft, so there are a lot of things that can occur. You know, when you're doing business, You can wave a magic wand, but you're looking to try to get the best value and balance a lot out. And I think they've done pretty well with that.
Sounds to me like he was hemming and hawing and he didn't really want to answer that question.
I can just imagine when he said Cam didn't have the weapons, I can imagine somewhere like our boy Matt Chatham is like, whatever. Yes, he did.
He had the proper weapons.
Yeah.
Around him. He's following me on Twitter.
Yeah. But did you get the feeling that, you know, he had to say something nice about Cam and about Stidham? On the other hand, he didn't really want to answer much of that.
I felt like at the beginning he just wanted to say, well, we still have the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
He said at the end. But
the one that, yes, but you have to include like all your kids.
You know, include them first, but I felt like he wanted to say the draft right away.
I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot, so.
I see, that's the one I like, though. That's the one where it says, okay, if you think about Jared Stidham, you know, do you really truly know what he's capable of doing? The first year he comes in, he's backing up Tom Brady. Second year, you think he's going to get at least some reps during the preseason. They don't even have it. So his development, I think, was ultimately delayed. And then once camp started, he gets hurt. And then it was just, okay, we can't sit there and wait for you anymore. We just have to move on.
Well, a big part of it could be that he was overwhelmed. Maybe one of the reasons Belichick brought Cam Newton in is he wanted to find out whether Stidham, you know, had the guts to stand up to him, to actually fight for his job in a competitive situation. And he didn't. So, yeah, they probably look at it and say, we still think Stidham is a talent. But, God, we don't know what's inside. How many times have you guys seen that where you get a really talented athlete and yet they just don't have what it takes to go out there and win and play? And maybe that's part of his problem. Now, he was asked the question about would he like to have a more defined plan at quarterback long term?
It's obviously an important position, Robert, and I'm just curious. I mean, would you like for there to be a more well-defined plan? Would you be okay with it if the team did something drastic, say, in the draft? Just to have a more well-defined plan, maybe long-term plan at that position.
Well, we all know long-term, you know, we have to find a way, either Jared Stidham or someone new we bring in. But, you know, this isn't something where you get algebraic formulas. We got, you know, think of all the personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady in 2000 or 99, whichever. And, you know, no one knows what's going to happen. So we have to balance everything. Look, the quarterback is the most important position on the team. We know that. He touches the ball over 70 times a year. And so one way or another, we have to get that position solidified.
Well, I think he means 70 times a game.
A game.
That's what he meant.
Okay. Yeah, 70 times a game. Yeah. So he's going to have to find a way with Jarrett Stidham or someone else. So to me,
he's bringing up Stidham a lot.
Well, but also it's twofold to me. It's one, it's bringing up Stidham. Like we don't really know. He still should be an option. He's like almost reset with Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham.
And when it comes to a more defined plan, like a long-term QB plan, does not include Cam. 1 year and that's it.
All right.
So which I think position. I can deal with. I can deal with one more year. I'm going to find a way to get through it.
They have to solidify
the position.
I don't
think I can do that.
I mean, I'm not sure. You go back to Bill having Garoppolo and Brady in his room, and even Brissett saying, they're talking about how excited they were about their quarterback room. Like, you need to bring some excitement in your quarterback room to me. I mean, you need to solidify it. You need to go get your guy and let him just, you know, develop at his own pace and let Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham, he mentions them all the time, compete for that starting job and have the kid just sort of sit back, learn, do his thing, and see when he is ready. But I also love the fact that all these genius personnel guys passed on Brady for six rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Do they include themselves?
Yeah.
99, whichever.
Well, I love it. It's like
they could have got him in the fifth round.
Obviously, that fourth, is the third? Best story going as far as guys that were overlooked that ended up being the best ever. I mean, that's. But how often are we going to keep going back?
A personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady.
And it's like 21 years later. It's like 21 years later. Back to Tom Brady. All those knuckleheads. Don't be mad at me for making mistakes. We picked Tom Brady.
Let's get to the Tom Brady questions because they were good. And so he was asked about whether he had any regrets as he was watching the Super Bowl.
Robert, mentioning Tom, watching him win a Super Bowl, but with a different organization. Did that lead, or how did that lead to any feelings of regret, if any, from you that he and the Patriots didn't stick together longer?
Well, look, I would have loved for him to have retired as a Patriot. That was, everybody knew that, but in life, things just happen in a way that you have to balance a lot of things. After 20 years, I thought he was entitled to make a decision that was what he thought was best for him and where he was at. And, you know, we gave him the ability to do that. And, you know, it's like marriages sometimes. No one knows on the outside everything going on, and you try to balance a lot. And, you know, it is what it is.
Hmm. Okay,
it's like a marriage. A lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, he likes portraying it that this is what Tom wanted. You notice that? I mean, the times he has talked about it, this was Tom's wishes, and we just granted him what he wanted
allowed
to do.
It.
Right.
We allowed it to happen.
Right. They're presenting it that way.
Yeah, because I think the entitlement part goes back to the year before the last contract where there was no franchise clause. That was really it. As far as the real tough negotiation, I guess, as far as like allowing him to have something that you really didn't want to fight with, because I believe that there was no way in the world Brady was going to sit there and play nice if they came even close to throwing a franchise tag on him.
It is. It's crazy. First off, I don't think Bill Belichick would have franchise tagged him at $26, $27 million for 1 year.
Yeah, he wouldn't pay him
$20 million. And how we took the franchise tag out of that contract. What they're like overlooking is he actually wanted a 2-year deal, and they didn't want to give him one. So it's not like he made that choice. Like, okay, you made that choice not to give him a 2-year deal. You could have given him a 2-year deal. You didn't. So we said, okay, then I don't want the franchise tag. So it's not like you didn't really do him a favor with the franchise tag, because the favor would have been actually giving him a 2-year deal and letting him stick around.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the issue was. I mean, you can still, develop a quarterback and have a long-term plan and paid for your quarterback that, was still better than anybody else.
So there was a good follow-up to this Brady question. Here it is.
And looking back, Robert, do you wish maybe that you made different decision on the team side to not give him that option, given the way it's unfolded?
Well, after 20 years, with any player. I'll make this commitment to any player in the future. Anyone who spends 20 years with us and helps us go to win six Super Bowls, we're not going to keep. Look, we could have contract-wise kept him, you know, under in our camp, but it's not the right thing. And naturally we want to win, but who knows what would have happened if he stayed here. You look what happened at the end of his last season here.
Didn't go so well.
No, but again, by saying anybody who does this for 20 years has the option to do whatever they want to do, they're throwing it back on Tom Brady, that this was Tom Brady's wishes.
Yeah. They sort of gloss over the fact that, you know, he wanted a two-year deal, and they didn't want to give it to him.
Right.
So we gave Brady what he wanted. No, you didn't. If you gave him what he wanted, it would have been a two-year deal.
Right.
But you didn't want to go that far. So then all of a sudden, you allowed him not to be franchised.
You know, we gave him the ability to do that.
And it feels like that's like doing him a favor.
So the big problem, and we're seeing it with Tampa Bay and what they did in this offseason, is they are willing, and obviously they had a great year with him, they are willing to bank on the fact that he can play until he's 45,
right,
or maybe beyond that. The New England Patriots were not willing to do that.
See, it's more about the approach, because I think we all agree that, like, you know, Brady wouldn't have been happy here last year.
No.
That's why he left.
That's why they're better off without him.
Yeah, not really. But that's why he left, because he was
really
like, I'm a free agent. I'm not going to stay here and keep throwing in N'Keal Harry and Demir Byrd and no tight end. I'm going to go to Tampa. That's not the issue. The issue is they should have been separated, given how Bill built this roster to basically absolutely nothing towards the end of Brady's career. But it's just how they're selling it now. Like, that's the problem, how they're selling it.
Yeah, that's the issue.
We let them do it.
All powerful.
Tampa Bay, you can thank us for your Super Bowl. And Brady, you can thank us for another Super Bowl, too, because we gave you the ability to go do that.
You know, we gave them the ability to do that.
Yeah, we really have seven Super Bowl wins. We have seven. We're taking partial credit for the one you have down there in Tampa.
Yeah, no.
They're consistent in the way that certainly he is. I don't think we're going to hear from Bill about this, but he's being consistent in the way he does it. All right, we got to get to this one. And he talks an awful lot about this past season, about going 7-9. This is not something that Robert Kraft is accustomed to. So he addressed it as he was asked the question about sitting back and watching what usually is a championship contending team go 7-9 this past year.
A, I would like just to know your general impression of watching your team last year go 7-9. I mean, after 20 years, 7-9 isn't a crime or anything, but I'm just wondering what your reaction to the season was. And then related to Tom's question, did you have, we don't know how things work. Do you have a meeting with Bill after the season to say, hey, how did we get here? How did we get out of it? What assurances do you have that personnel realizes the error of their ways and they are ready to correct them?
Well, okay. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Greg Bedard.
I'd answer your question by saying, you know, in the 34 years before we owned the team, do you know how many home playoff games there were?
Zero.
One. And you know how many we've had since we've owned the team the last 27 years?
A lot.
27.
You gotta do your homework, and,
you know, we went 23-4, and the previous 34 years they were 0-1. So when you say, how did I feel? Well, I'm not going to use the word, but it was horrible. And, you know, this, after my family, the Patriots are the most important thing in my life. And I think what we can do to impact the community, but also the privilege I have of owning this team in my hometown. And it's like I said when I bought the team, our family is a custodian of a public asset. And the bottom line here is winning. That's what this business is, and that, and when we don't, it's not a good feeling. And
okay,
I got to give it.
I didn't
to
know
him.
That we were going to be quizzed.
I got to give it to him. I think it's a good answer though. What he's doing is he's basically patting himself on the back or patting the organization on the back and saying, "If you know what we did for all these years," and Bedard not prepared, didn't have the answer
a lot.
And then he goes on to talk about and being honest and frank and saying, "Yeah, it was horrible, terrible. Bottom line here is winning. We didn't win." We're not happy.
Kind of sound like a Yankee fan there at the beginning. A
little bit, yeah.
How many championships we got, dude?
Sounds like Danny Ainge.
How many championships
we got?
How many
conference finals we've made, you schmuck?
Hopefully that doesn't last long, but we're going to keep living on the past. But yeah, no, it's. I'd imagine it's horrible. Listen, the guy's been accustomed to winning just like everybody else. I mean, if you're somebody, what, the age of what, I don't know, 35 or older, or younger, 40 and younger, I don't know, 20 years in a row as a fan?
Yeah.
No, you're used to 7-9. Right. I'm sure it did feel horrible.
But he didn't sit there and basically say, you know, this is everything we've done without coming back and saying, but it was horrible. I think that was, there's more.
I'm not going to go into how I operate and manage, but we're involved in quite a few businesses. We believe in trying to get good people and having stability in all our businesses. And I think we've sort of done that here. And the record speaks for itself. So, we're in a business where everything is designed. So you go 8-8 or 9-7 under the new setup. And, you know, the way games are scheduled, the teams you play, everything, the way you draft. There's no other sports league that has everyone spends the same amount of money. So it's a real challenge, and I think that we have developed some ways of operating and analytics and things that drive us. And the bottom line is we want to win, and when we don't, we're not happy.
Understandable.
Totally understandable. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did a really good job with that question, you know, and without ripping the crap out of everybody. He likes the people he has there, so anybody that thinks that Bill Belichick is in trouble, I think you're not going to have that.
So it was
happen.
Just as painful for him as it was us.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. Yes.
It was horrible.
Horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, so, I guess none of this is really surprising. You know, as soon as he was saying, it's like, man, you imagine the stress you have, like the next coach that comes in. Hey, oh, by the way, do you know how many playoff games we've had in 34 years before we owned the team? That's right.
A lot.
Yeah. No, zero. No, actually, no, one. There's been one playoff game at home here, and they lost that home playoff game before we bought the team. Just so you know, and good luck. When Bill walks out the door, the next coach, you're going to get asked all these same questions.
Zero.
You may want to get it.
You better want to answer it.
One. So obviously, we move to the biggest question, and that is contender next year?
Just a quick addition. So do you expect to be a contender this year?
Well, I've learned I expect to be a contender every year. So, that's my objectives. Last year was very disappointing. And I really do believe that the Cam getting COVID and what it did to the team, and it changed a lot when we were in a good place, and now we'll have a chance to see.
I'm not sure I buy this answer though. COVID was the Kansas City game, right?
Yeah,
and they played well in the Kansas City game. Right?
Well, yeah.
Except the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? It played well.
Yeah.
To the point where we all came out of that game saying, "Well, that's encouraging." And he said it changed a lot when we were in a good place. So we're taking that COVID week and we're saying it went downhill from there.
Well, did you hear Robert said Josh changed all the signs and all the language.
Yeah. Now, does he know that
screwed
that's
up everything?
Does he know that?
Told me this explicit was calculus.
Cam told me.
Yeah, does he know that they actually tried to screw with Cam to make it harder on him? Like when you had your exit, conversation with Bill, did you ask why the hell were you guys trying to play a trick on Cam and make it harder
horrible.
For him?
It's horrible.
It was horrible. Holy cow.
Last time I checked, weren't there other teams that were involved in the COVID issues as well? Weren't there?
There was.
There were a bunch of teams that were involved. They weren't good enough. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They weren't good enough.
But, you know, you mentioned it earlier, too, and how he brought up Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
At an awful lot. Yeah. And we were just talking the other day, like, no one's talking about Stidham. Like, you would think, like, 2 weeks news cycle after Cam signed here, all of a sudden somebody would be talking about or interviewing or just getting quotes about Jared Stidham. I want to just, what did he say? Because he talked about it, right?
You know, Robert, on Jared Stidham, obviously we haven't gotten to know Jared all that well. Just what have you learned about Jared over the course of his 2 years with you there in Foxborough?
Well, I think he's a great young man, and I know that he's eager to compete and look for an opportunity to play. One thing I liked is he's showed great initiative in putting this workouts together on his own out in California. I don't know how public that is, and if you follow him on social media, I guess you could see it. But a bunch of the guys went out there and did that. And I'm not sure he's really been tested. So I'm very a big fan of his.
You're right. He mentioned Stidham an awful lot and obviously asked about it. They're eager to compete. That might have been a real question mark last year. And we talked about this earlier. I liked his initiative to put together workouts in California.
Looking for a sunny escape with your football friends?
Somebody probably got some, whether it's his agent, whether it's somebody within the Patriots organization, say, you need to put together initiative to get... Clearly, he's on the board as one of their plans, right? Clearly, Stidham is on the board.
Well, I guess he's in the competition. I guess the competition is open. It's an open competition. I'm assuming that's, I mean, he's mentioning him, talking about him a lot. Or maybe he just doesn't want, you know, Cam Newton to feel too comfortable.
All right. We're going to give away a pair of Red Sox tickets coming up in the very next segment. Plus, you're going to like this answer from Robert Kraft concerning the draft.
Ooh.
And the Patriots in the draft. Lord, you're going to enjoy this one.
I am.
So hang in there for that one. It's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Would you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Do you expect to be a contender this year?
No. I expect to be a contender every year. So, you know, that's my objectives. Last year was very disappointing. And I really do believe that Cam getting COVID and what it did to the team, and it changed a lot when we were in a good place. And now we'll have a chance to see.
Robert Kraft spending a long time with the media here today. This hour of OMF being brought to you by Tingley Home Services, where they have great job packages for experienced HVAC techs and electricians. We told you about Red Sox baseball. They kick off the season tomorrow. And yes, they're going to play 162 this year. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have some fans in the stands. About 4,500 fans are going to be in the stands. And right now, we're going to give you a chance of being one of those people there Sunday at Fenway Park. Be caller number 9 right now. Number 9 to the contest line. Let me give you the contest line phone number. It's different than the call-in line. 617. You know they're going to call you.
Give Tyler's phone number.
This is the contest line, people. Contest. 617-931-0937. 617-931-0937. We will take caller number 9. You're going to score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles at Fenway Park on Sunday afternoon. And remember, we'll have all the games right here on WEEI, the WEEI Radio Network. Plus, you can stream all of the games.
Give the number again, please.
They're calling the wrong line again.
Yeah, they're calling like bad.
How are they calling the inside
lines?
I don't
know.
How do these people get
somewhere
these?
The receptionist upstairs
on
is like,
the
Harbor
One hotline.
Let me give you the number again, people. This is the number again. Wake up. Pay attention. 617-931-0937. Not the call in.
Okay.
Got it?
Are we taking the ninth caller, or is Tyler doing this?
Tyler's taking the ninth call. Right. We don't trust you to count up to 9.
No, we're not allowed to do any kind of
giveaways. The amount of times
too much going on.
The amount of times we screwed up this big.
Okay.
So again, I want to remind people, you can hear on the radio all of the games. You can also, in the Boston metro area, you can stream them on your device at WEEI.com. And by downloading what app, Christian?
Odyssey app.
Very good. AUDACY.
See, that's big because you used to have to go to like MLB and like download and you still couldn't get it locally.
It's easy now.
The Odyssey app is a lot better
than what we've had up there.
That is true because
I've been messing with it today.
Any in-town game, you'd have to switch gears.
Yeah, or you could go to it and do it that way, but it's just a pain in the ass.
An Odyssey station.
You've already got that app, so that's all you really need.
By the way, you can hear us every afternoon as well as all of the other shows on that same app. It's simple as that.
Is that weird? Can you play me the Odyssey sound drop real quick? Just listen to her voice.
An Odyssey station.
You like that voice?
I kind of do. Can we give her something else to read?
I thought you said yesterday Gary Tangway should be saying that. Would you rather hear Gary Tangway saying that?
No, we already know what Gary looks like.
Oh, yeah.
That means it's Chicka Bow Wow season.
I'd rather hear the woman doing it than Gary Tangway. I'm sorry. It's just much better. I want to get to two other things here. Lou's going to like this. Actually, I understand now, Lou submitted his own question. Mm. He handed it off to Tom E. Curran.
No, Tommy doesn't need this. He's got this all on his own.
And Tom E. Curran asked this question to Robert Kraft.
Over the two decades, really, your team had so much success in being a homegrown team that built internally, retained players, and did such a great job through the draft. Really, the flurry 2 weeks ago was related to not, it's kind of a store-bought team in this edition. And some of that probably is traceable back to the fact that the drafts have not been as good. What internally have you guys been able to diagnose as the reasons the draft wasn't as good? Or was it just a byproduct perhaps of, you know, the window with Tom Brady and decisions made there? Is there anything that you can point your finger on with some of the homegrown talent that didn't come in the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, that's a good question. And look, in the end, if you want to have a good, consistent, winning football team, you can't do it in free agency. You have to do it through the draft because that's when you're able to get people of great talent, whether it's Willie McGinnis or Tom Brady, you get them at a price where you can build a team and be competitive. Once they get to their first contract, if they're superstars, you can only balance so many of them. And so, really, the teams who draft well are the ones who will be consistently good. I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years, and I really hope and I believe I've seen a different approach this year. And let's, you know, in the end, it all comes out to what happens on the field and how well people execute. And you really don't know a draft, how good a draft is, for at least 2 years, because And especially in the environment we're in now, where we don't, I'm not quite sure still what our off-season training and learning abilities will be. It's something we're working very hard with the unions today. And I think last year, younger players were really disadvantaged because they didn't have the time to come and learn and be part of it. And to be frank, I think that also was what happened with Cam, that, you know, everything was new. And when he got going, he was playing pretty well. If you remember how things were at the beginning of the season, what happened at Seattle, and then, unfortunately, for the Kansas City game. But he's more familiar with what goes on here, and, you know, just like younger players from last year, and we'll see what happens this year.
So he was pretty honest about the drafting. I'm not sure I buy the Cam thing. Cam played well in Seattle. Cam, he made a mistake at the end of the game, okay. Played well early on. When he got going, he was playing pretty well.
Yeah, to me, when
it's
I look back
like he
on
had
it,
to throw that in for some
yeah,
reason.
And it's like, and I can sit there and say, okay, first game, yes, you. I mean, let's bring some context to this. You completely surprised the Dolphins because they had no idea what you were going to do. If you're gonna beat a team, your best chance to surprise a team. Okay, the Dolphins ended up 11-5. They were a good team. You surprised them because they had no idea what you were going to do with him. They don't have any tape to watch,
right?
Okay, so then your next game is against Seattle on the road. You play against one of the worst defenses in the league that lost, that were already bad, that lost both their safeties and their best rush end. And I keep going back to this because there's a reason why Julian Edelman had a career day. After playing with Tom Brady for all these years, it takes him to have a game with Cam Newton as a quarterback to have a career day. That alone should be like, oh, red flag, something ain't right here. And then you get the real test. And then you play against the Las Vegas Raiders, who end up turning back into the Raiders. But you can easily see that the Raiders, with two games to study, adjusted to what he does best. Took away, jammed the receivers, didn't let him get off the line of scrimmage, forced him to make tough throws that he couldn't make. So, but they win that game.
No, it's I always felt like the young kids definitely disadvantaged. There's no question about it. And that's why I thought like Stidham actually got hurt more by it than Cam did. Because Stidham was a young quarterback. He needed reps. You know, he needed to be part of it and learn, you know, not just the offense, but learn how to play in the league. Same thing with the rookies. You know, Cam had played in the league. You know, so I know this offense, you know, keeps talking about calculus and everything else, but no, to me that was more physical than it was not being prepared. And people can give him every excuse in the book, and they have. But he's absolutely right, I think, with the young kids. You know, the rookies coming in. And it's not like every rookie struggled. You know, some rookies really played well last year. But everybody's a little bit different. Every system's a little bit different. But I do like the fact that, like you said, basically every good team does it, builds through the draft.
And he admitted they have not done a good job with it recently.
Yeah. So who is he talking about specifically if you haven't done a good job in the draft?
He said they're changing their ways in the way that they're dealing with it this year.
Well, wait, the way they're that was always kind of been my whole plan is like you need to change your philosophy post Brady. You can't draft like you have a human eraser anymore. It needs to be different. It needs to look different. And I do like this whole, I love this line by Tom Curran when he talks about store-bought. Store-bought, that's what other guys do. They go ahead and they pass by. They just buy help because they can't create it on their own. They can't develop.
You can't sustain it.
So they need to purchase assets from somebody else who's already developed them. Because now it's almost like college coaches that inherit a team, and they don't have enough time to go out and recruit. So you know what they do? They go grab guys at the junior college level. They go grab guys that are now, you know, 2 years into college and are already mature and developed, and they can just throw them in there right now. Hey, quick fix. Get in there right now. Go play. Now we'll start drafting again. But these guys, these store-bought guys, are going to be the ones that kind of man the wall until the younger guys can kind of take over on their own.
It's just a pause in the development phase. And a lot of these free agents they signed are young. You know, it's not like they're old guys. They signed up for 2 or 3 years. So now the importance of drafting, you know, that draft class last year, we'll see. Next year's, the year after, it's going to be even more important for those guys to develop. So these free agents that you sign when they turn 30, you can move on from. You know, and it's just the way it is with every sport, except for probably the NBA, because, you know, veterans can go to team to team and just build the team and win and stay there for 4 years. But it's the same thing with baseball. Yeah. Like when you build and you have young players, young core players, and you build the farm system, now you decide when's right to jump in. When do I trade 3 or 4 prospects and add? Or when do I sign that one big free agent or 2 big free agents and add to a team that's been built through a draft or, you know, whatever it might be? And the same thing with football. That's what these guys are here for. 2 or 3 years for the rookies last year and the next two drafts to develop so you can move on from them when they get too old and you don't want them anymore.
So I think it's interesting, in this long conversation he had with the media, he made excuses for Cam Newton. You just heard it right there, even though the question that was asked by Tommy Curran dealt with the draft.
It is what it is.
And he spent a lot of time talking about Jarrett Stidham, which gives you the idea that maybe Stidham is at least on their board as having a shot to do all of this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler. Nobody asked him about Jimmy Garoppolo and the rumors out there?
16 questions over 35 minutes, not one question about Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't think he would have answered it.
No,
he could simply say he's on another team and we're not going to, you know, tamper and I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, he can't even mention it.
No.
An owner, in this type of setting, talking openly about Jimmy Garoppolo. He can't be like, listen, I appreciate the question.
Aren't you surprised nobody asked it?
Yeah, but the other thing is there were... I don't know if there was a time limit on this or not, Tyler. I mean, maybe there was, or who knows what Stacey was doing.
It was supposed to be 15 minutes. It went over 30.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, there were so many questions other than Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, that were more important just as far as everything. Think about the offseason. Think about Cam Newton. Think about everything. You know, so I think the questions that they asked were great.
I'm not going to play the audio, but I'll give you one on Stephon Gilmore's future. We're lucky to have him. Tremendous player, gifted. We'll see what happens. Okay.
Yeah, so...
we'll see what happens.
So to me... okay, so listen, I respect the fact that he's doing this. I think there's, for the most part, he was pretty open and honest, you know, without being evasive, you know? So...
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, listen, I think it's good. I think there's some interpretation of some of the things he said, and it's like, whatever, like letting Tom go and all these other things. And we can disagree, you know, with Cam Newton, you know, and who he was last year. But the fact that he stood there for 30 minutes and took, I don't know how many questions. We've got 16 cuts here right now. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's what owners should do. You know, when people care about your football team, you're the owner of the football team or any sport, you should talk to the media and talk to the fans through the media.
No, I like it. I thought this was really interesting. When is Bill scheduled to do this now? Is that tomorrow?
What about John Henry?
John Henry, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Next February, pick the table.
So they're playing a game tomorrow, and John Henry still hasn't spoken to anybody yet, right? Is that it? Oh, okay.
That's the way it is.
Cam Newton has a brand new show on BET, and I actually like this idea. He's going to sit down with a bunch of people, and they're going to sip cocktails, and they're going to smoke cigars. What's wrong with that? Highlights from Episode 1 with Cam and his guest, Steve Harvey. It's coming up next with Last Call. Hi, Mutt.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
It's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. I like this idea. Cam Newton has a brand new short on BET Plus and BET's YouTube channel. It's called Sip and Smoke, right? Mm-hmm. Sip and Smoke. So, at least he's not using that old tired formula where you drive around in the car and do the interview in the car.
Or you sing while you're singing other people's songs.
Yeah. I mean, we're worn out with that. So what he's doing is he's going out and he's finding guests who like to drink. And I guess like to smoke cigars because you can't have a guest on puffing smoke in their face if they
that
don't
would
like
be funny.
Cigar smoke.
Yeah, dude, I would love to be on your show, but dude, I don't drink or smoke.
I hate smoke. I hate cigar smoke. I can't do it.
It'd be a problem.
That'd be a problem.
Cam spoke about how important it is to be himself, especially with the kids watching this.
But a lot of times people forget that and they look at me, they look at what I wear, they look at how I talk, they look at how I look. And I used to always say to people, especially when I came into the league, it was like, you know, this is the blueprint. The Drew Brees, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, these type of players, the Steve Young's, right? And for me, I was like, yeah, that's fine, but I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of those athletes, they're great in their own right, but in order for me to impact and empower my community, I need to be me.
Yeah.
For the kid that sees me being and doing the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm accomplished, they can be able to relate to it and say, man, Cam came out of these streets. I can come out of these streets.
So is it about him or the guest?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay. It always turns back to him. It's like he's doing an interview with Steve Harvey.
So hold on. Let me just get this right. So he's concerned about the kids who are watching, yet he's sipping cocktails and smoking cigars in their face.
It is funny. It is funny.
But they like him. Everybody likes him.
Oh,
you got to admit it. Everybody likes him.
It was kind of vomit-inducing. I watched the whole thing.
I saw the beginning and end of it.
So the first episode, it's out. You can get the first episode.
Steve Harvey, right?
They put it out today. And his first guest is Steve Harvey. I mean, think of the questions you could ask to Steve Harvey. You could ask him, what was it like when you gave that contestant who won the beauty pageant?
Steve, I asked 100 NFL players this question. Give me your answer.
Show me Jared Steinem.
Unbelievable. So as Cam was signing off at the end of the episode, Steve Harvey couldn't help himself. He interrupted Cam, and he gave him a little advice.
I just want to say thank you for your blessings. Appreciate you guys for tuning in.
Hold on, Cam. Let me say something to you. Mm-hmm. So there's an African proverb. Lions don't turn around when small dogs bark. Mm. Don't even turn around, dog. You a lion.
Yes, sir.
When them small dogs is barking, you ain't even got to turn around. Because you turn around, you can snap their ass up. Now, if a lion turn around on a small dog, that bitch is fitting it. He fitting to fold and crumble. Keep walking through the jungle, man, because you a lion. Lions don't turn around when small dogs bark.
Man, I'm going to take that.
That's you, man.
I'm going to take that. Appreciate you, Mr. Steve.
Once again, the kids enjoyed that part of it.
What are all these people going to do when Cam loses his job week 7 to Justin Fields?
Oh, my and God. Just if a lion awful. Turn around on a small dog, that bitch is fitting it. He's fitting to fold and crumble.
I thought you know, lions don't care about the opinions of sheep or something
like that. It's funny you mentioned that, but we actually got somebody else who knows an awful lot about lions, and I can't believe they didn't ask him.
Because now... You have to ask yourself, why does a lion get up and roar so loud? If you don't know, most should know.
Oh.
And that is to claim his territory.
Of course.
It's cool. I didn't know that.
So first episode, Cam Newton and Steve Harvey.
He's got a lot of support.
Watch the whole thing.
That is great.
Hi, Mike.
He's got a lot of guys pulling for him.
Who?
Cam!
Oh my God. Everybody likes him.
Well, based on the owner today, heard Bob Kraft, I think he's kind of pulling for him, right? Blaming COVID.
Stidham.
Stidham, though.
Well, in that analogy, is Stidham the dog barking behind Cam?
Oh, you don't find yourself hanging out with hyenas.
The Cam shouldn't turn around and
I think we're. I think the media. We are the bitches.
Yeah, we are the
specifically,
bitches. Call me a bitch?
Probably me more than anyone.
I'm the bitch.
I am probably the biggest bitch around.
Yep.
I think Glenn.
We'll save that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we always have the Merlone shuttle. We always have that.
Thanks, Jackie.
You'll never see an eagle flock with pigeons.
Never, ever.
Is there anybody better than him?
No. What happened to his podcast? I thought you guys were going to do every week go through his podcast. Like, what happened?
It was exhausting. Dude. It was exhausting.
It wears you out.
I'll bring it back in the summer.
I heard one day before, he's like, we're going to go through it every week. We're going to play it every week.
We tried.
And like 1 week is like that. You know what?
It went from lions to like dolphins. It was like always
check in, then it's impossible to check out.
So that's a Roach Motel.
Riding his bike and it got weird. It's too much.
The analogies. What's up?
We got Bob Kraft right off the top. We'll get some of you guys. There's good and there's bad. Okay, it wasn't all good today from Kraft. I don't think so. I'll explain coming up at 6 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll do some baseball. Carl Ravitch, Lou Merlone, Pat Light, busy baseball.
Lou Merlone's on the show.
Little baseball roundtable tonight.
He doesn't know that.
Who?
Me?
He's contracted. Any baseball roundtable, Lou asked me part.
8 o'clock, right?
Either this or we had to go to Jake and Joe's and do it. Like, get everyone together.
I have a lot of respect for Texas this year. I'll tell you right now. A lot of respect.
Get to Texas.
Why don't we do that
segment on Texas?
We should do that.
The last time we did that, I don't think it went well.
It went crazy.
I don't think it did.
So, Mutt, tomorrow afternoon,
everybody gets a driver
because we're on after the game tomorrow.
You are.
Lou's
yeah,
doing the game with Joe and Will. Yep. He'll be doing the game over at Fenway, and then the three of us are going to be on after the game. So you're
till
on
7.
You're on the pregame show.
I'm going to do the pregame show, and then I'm going to come back and do my show after you guys do OMF. So busy day for me.
Look at you.
So I'll be part of the pregame show, and then Will will do some. You guys be on by like 5:45, 6 o'clock, I bet.
Yeah.
Ready to recap, depending on the rain.
Yeah.
When you play games in Boston in April, turns out it might rain on opening.
I just looked at the forecast, the hour to hour. They say it's going to end at 1 o'clock.
Yep. Perfect.
Ready to go. Let's go.
There you go. I'll take care. We'll see you guys after the game tomorrow.
Nothing's
we'll talk some baseball tonight
in.
With OMF's Lou Merlone at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
He'll join us in the show.
Tell Lou. You better let Lou
let me know.
So he's on at 8 o'clock. All right, fellas. We'll be on after the game. Lou, have a great broadcast.
I'm going to
enjoy game one. Tomorrow, do a little bit of the Merlone shuttle tomorrow afternoon. Christian, I'll see you after the game.
Yeah, man.
Have a great night, everybody. Mutt at Night is next. Stay safe out there. Is it time to walk away? I done.
This is WEEI.